Greetings in the name of Christ to you all. I'm Reverend Joan Pell and I bring you a warm welcome from the Ipswich Methodist Circuit. I'm the preacher today on this, the first Sunday in Lent, as we begin our new sermon series, Rising to the Call, Seven Big Questions. As we think about discipleship in general and justice, and particularly climate justice. Today we're going to hear about Jesus' time in the wilderness with the devil tempting him. As we ponder our first big question, how do you resist the easy option? May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And will you join me now in our call to worship? Your parts are going to be on the screen in white. The cry of injustice calls us to follow Jesus to the pain of the cross as we prepare to celebrate Christ's rising from death. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Jesus chose the way of risk. Strengthen us to resist the easy option. Together, we seek to follow your path to justice, rising to the call and demands of discipleship. As we begin this Lenten journey, let us invite the Holy Spirit into our brokenness as we return with repentance to God. Our opening hymn is number 395, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mould us, fill us, and use us.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Here today to begin this year's journey to the cross. We come to turn back to God by letting go of those things that separate us from each other and from God, and by concentrating on those things that bring us closer. So what are you going to give up for Lent? What are you going to take up? What will you give to others? And if you don't know, there's some ideas in today's sermon. So in the name of Christ, I invite you to observe this holy season of Lent by prayer, self-denial, and charitable giving, by self-examination and repentance, and by reading and meditating on God's word. And may your journey be a holy one, and this Lenten time be rich and transformational. So let us come now before God in prayer. God of all creation, of grace and love, we come to you at the beginning of this Lenten journey as we seek to turn away from our sin and be faithful to the gospel. You have known us from the beginning of time, in the depths of our dreams and the darkness of our shame. You know us as your beloved. We ask for the courage to examine the desert places in our hearts and that which lures us away from being who you have created us to be. There are many temptations that we face, and we ask your forgiveness for succumbing to them. We face the temptation of putting our wants above another's needs. We face the temptations of wealth and consumerism. We face the temptation of ignoring problems such as poverty, homelessness, racism, and climate change, with the false hope that they will go away without our intervention. We face the temptation of doing the easy things and putting off the hard. Forgive us for living in ways that disconnect us from you. Nurture the faint stirrings of new life where your spirit has begun to grow. Let your healing light transform us into the image of your Son, for you alone can bring new life and make us whole. Amen. And hear the good news. In the name of Christ, your sins are forgiven. Amen. As we approach the darkness surrounding the events at the cross, we have seven candles here, surrounded by thorns. And we're going to extinguish one candle on each of the six Sundays in Lent, leaving us with the Christ candle that will be put out on Good Friday.
The cry of injustice calls us to follow Jesus to the pain of the cross. A little of the light which has come into the world is snuffed out when we give in to temptation. O God of hope, on this Lenten journey, guide us towards the darkness of the cross, emboldening us to rise to the call of each new challenge placed before us, as we trust in your promises, revealing the power of transformation and the hope of resurrection.
Amen. Our scripture today is being read by Mike Peck, and he's a steward at Trinity Methodist Church in Felixstowe and secretary of the Felixstowe Peninsula Methodist Church's Climate Emergency Group.
The gospel reading is taken from Luke's gospel, chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. The temptation of Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered, "It says, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So back last September, we had a 9-week Circuit Climate Action Initiative leading up to COP26. It was headed up by David Wellborn from Museum Street Methodist Church, and we now have several groups from various churches around our circuit working on climate justice. And inspired by that work, David and I have worked together to come up with a Lent sermon series. We called it Rising to the Call, 7 Big Questions. And in this series, we're going to be pondering the gospel scripture passages that are set for Lent as we ask 7 big questions that can be applied to our discipleship in general and to issues of justice, especially climate justice. There's also a Lent study that we've co-authored to go along with these sermons. And you can download the study guide at methodistic.org.uk/rising. methodistic.org.uk/rising. And if you're in the circuit, there are several days and places where the study is being offered. And if you're not living in this area, well, do start your own group. Our gospel story today of Jesus' time in the wilderness comes in the Gospel of Luke immediately after the story of Jesus' baptism, where Jesus is commissioned by God to his ministry and assured of God's love and approval. As the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I'm well pleased." Well, we heard that story back in January this year. And since then, we've been reading stories of Jesus' ministry around Galilee. But today, as Lent begins, we're going back again in time to just after Jesus' baptism, at the start of his ministry. And it began in the wilderness with 40 days of temptation. As Luke said, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, where he was baptized, and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted. The first thing that we should notice and remember is that Jesus is not facing these temptations alone. He's not been taken there and left to fend for himself. The Holy Spirit is with him and guiding him and helping him to grow stronger. And the same is true for us as we face temptation. If we open our hearts and minds, we will find that the Holy Spirit is with us, nudging us in the right direction. We're not promised that there will be no temptation. We are promised the presence of God's Spirit with us. And it's in the places of hunger and despair that we learn dependence on God. Our faithful God leads us not only into the wilderness, but through it too. Now, I wonder why Jesus went into the wilderness. Was he led there for a time of contemplation and a time to tend his soul? Much like today when we might go to a retreat centre or how we consider this Lent season as a time of returning to God? Or was the wilderness somewhere where he didn't really want to be and where he had no choice but to go? Much like this time of COVID that has felt like a wilderness that we now need to make our way out of. Either way, Jesus is in the wilderness, a barren place, where he didn't have all of life's necessities, never mind the luxuries, and he has some choices to make. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm faced with two equally and morally good choices, and one is easy and the other is hard, then I'm probably going to take the easy choice. For example, I usually take the escalator rather than walking up and down stairs in a shop. There might be times when I choose to get the exercise and use the stairs, but usually the stairs are hidden away and I just take the easy option and conserve my energy. Sometimes, though, the choices that we have to make are not both equally good, and one is a lot easier and will be less painful, at least in the short term. And I suspect that we all like to take the easy route and not the pain-filled one. So today's big question is, how do you resist the easy option? Jesus faces three temptations. To each of these temptations, Jesus' responses underscore his faithfulness to God, setting the stage for the whole of his ministry and ultimately his sacrifice. His responses come with the full knowledge that obedience to God will bring persecution, misunderstanding, and the cross. He does not take the easy option. To say yes to the world would have required Jesus to say no to God, to the way of God, to an idea of God's kingdom that his disciples simply did not understand. It would have required him to say no to the freedom and love for humanity that are the marks of his death and resurrection. Now, we could look at these three temptations in detail, but for today, I'm just going to concentrate on the first temptation, where he resisted the temptation to take the easy option and turn a stone into a loaf of bread. Jesus was hungry, physically hungry, and the devil pointed out the stones lying on the ground and told Jesus to prove that Jesus was the Son of God by turning the stones into bread. Now, we're to understand from the scripture that Jesus had the power to do this, but he chose not to do so. Jesus resisted the easy option, even when he was hungry and exhausted, and his capacity to think clearly must have been clearly diminished. He clung to the thought that he needed more than just bread to sustain him. Another perspective is that Jesus saw all the stones in front of him and was tempted to turn them all instantly into enough bread to feed himself and the world. By implication, if he can turn one stone into bread for himself, then he can also turn the abundant stones that cover Israel's landscape into ample food to feed the many hungry people in a land often racked by famine. But he didn't take the supernatural solution to feed the world. He didn't do the easy thing. And if he had, that wouldn't have been a long-term sustainable solution. It might have helped in the moment. By not taking that option, He denied both himself and others for the longer term, greater good. Jesus didn't ask for trials and temptations, but he decided if they couldn't be avoided, that he would do God's will. He wouldn't exploit his status and power to satisfy his own needs and desires. And Jesus' testing wasn't just for a day or two. It was for a season. 40 days. And we too might have to endure seasons of long and protracted difficulty. And as disciples of Jesus, it's so easy for us to choose the easy option. So as we think about the work we're called to do for climate justice or any form of social justice, where the solutions are complicated, many of the answers that are dangled in front of us are either not sustainable or are insufficient in the long term. It's easy to throw up our hands and say, well, there's nothing we can do. Or to pick the simpler tasks that fit easily into our lives and hardly inconvenience us. Now, it is important that we do something. And when tasks seem daunting, the first step might well be to take some small actions. But that should not be the only step that we take. Many of the things that we need to do to combat global warming and climate change will involve governments and big industry making many changes. And as they do so, it will also take us changing our attitudes. It will take advocacy. It will take changes of habit. It will mean doing some things in less convenient ways. And it will mean abstaining from some things and investing in others. As we approached our Climate Action Initiative last autumn, we divided the concept of climate justice into four areas: learning, speaking out, acting, and inspiring hope. We talked about how it is important to do all of these things and to keep going round that loop. Some of you will have participated at that time, but are you still continuing to learn? Are you still advocating and speaking out? Have the actions you started become second nature to you? What new actions can you take? What's filling you with hope now? And are these things just the easy option? Are there some more difficult things that you could take up and tackle as a Lenten discipline? And if you're just beginning on this journey, then take a look at our circuit website and work your way through each of the sections, picking something out from each section to focus upon. You can find it at methodistic.org.uk/climate-action. And then contemplate. In what way are you tempted to take the easy option towards climate change? Now, what one person finds easy may be hard for another. We're all at a different place in our lives and on this justice journey. What you do if you're homebound or in ill health will be different from what a slightly younger, able-bodied person will do. This is your personal Lent journey. So listen to what the Holy Spirit is personally telling you. I asked David this question as to what ways he's been tempted to take the easy option. and he recorded his answer for us all to listen to. Now, my asking this question of David was a rather last-minute thought, and I did apologise to him afterwards. So take a look at this.
Hi, Joan. You asked me to say a few words about what I'm doing to resist the temptation to do only the simple things. And quite honestly, the simple thing was to say I haven't got time to do it because I'm just about to fly off to Norway for a holiday and a photographic experience out there. Looking forward to it. Actually, I decided I could do something very quickly for you before I go. You can see I'm still in the process of packing. And the easy option is to say no, because actually, as you and I both discovered as we were preparing the questions and the study, there are no easy answers, and we haven't got all the answers. But actually, the temptation that I could resist most is to be complacent about what I'm already doing, because I think I'm doing a lot throughout the year, but there's always more to be done, and it's ever so tempting to sit back and relax with what I'm already doing. And so whilst I'm away and through Lent, I'll be looking hard for those extra things that I can do. Thanks.
Thank you, David, for your candidness. And I've asked myself the same question. Where am I tempted to take the easy option? I feel like I learnt lots last autumn about the 9 topics that we covered, and I'm still continuing to learn through other reading and the watching of documentaries. For this last week or so, I've been reading a book that David asked me to read, and he's reading it as well. And it's a book called On Fire by Naomi Klein. And it's a very difficult read because of the concepts that it raises. And I'm about 2/3 of the way through right now. The more I read and understand about what it's going to take to keep global warming to under a 2 degrees centigrade increase, the greater the temptation is to step away and to feign or retain my ignorance and just ignore the whole topic. It's just too hard. The easy solution for me is to do as much as I can in recycling, reusing, reducing, repairing, repurposing things. And then I can salve my conscience and stop worrying and leave the rest to the government. That's my temptation. But it's not what I'm hearing the Holy Spirit saying to me. It's not what I think God is calling me or us to do. And with God's help, and as I place my dependence on God, then I will resist that temptation. Having incorporated some of the smaller actions into my life since the autumn, particularly around my diet, I will continue with my reading, however hard it gets. And I will take a fresh look at the actions that I have been procrastinating about and look more at where and how I can speak out. And as I do so, I pray that I will both find hope and inspire hope in others. So where are you being tempted right now? I invite you to resist only doing the easiest options towards climate justice or another social justice issue. To put aside your own needs and desires, to faithfully cling to God's sustaining word, and then to also choose something that it's harder for you to do as a part of your Lent discipline this year. May this Lent be a blessed season for you. Thanks be to God. Amen. And we're going to continue in song now as we sing about Jesus' experiences in the desert. Number 237, Jesus tempted in the desert, lonely, hungry, filled with dread. Let us pray and bring our concerns now before God. Gracious God, be with us on our Lenten journey. Help us to resist just taking the easy option as we affirm that one does not live by bread alone. Help us to gain confidence as we make those changes which are easy, and embolden us to rise to each new hard challenge placed before us, so that we may be beacons of lasting, transformative change to bring real justice and relief to a hurting world. We pray today for all who are walking a hard journey, for those whose land and livelihoods are disrupted by climate change, for those who did not want to leave home but were forced to, for those who set out today in search of food and water, for those whose journey is shattered by economic hardship, for those whose daily paths encounter barbed wire and guns. This week, we especially lift up the people of Ukraine as we pray using the words of the Joint Public Issues Team. God of all, with alarm and concern, we bring before you the military intervention in Ukraine. In a world you made for peace and flourishing, we lament the use of armed force. We mourn every casualty of this conflict, every precious life extinguished by war. We pray comfort for those who grieve and those who are fearful. Hear our longing that leaders and nations will honour the worth of all people by having the courage to resolve conflict through dialogue. May all our human failings be transformed by your wonderful grace and goodness. We ask this in the name of Christ, the author of peace and sustainer of creation. And in the stillness now, we share with God our personal concerns. We lift our prayers to you in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I'd like to thank everyone who's participated in our service today. Mike Peck for reading our scripture. Frodsham Methodist Church in the North Cheshire Circuit for our last song. Neil and Elizabeth Hepplethwaite and Adrian Pell for our music, and Adrian for the video editing. And it would be lovely to know that you were worshipping with us today. So there is a form above this video, if you're watching it on the Methodistic website, where you can just type in your name and location and click on the red button, and we will know that you've been here. So as you take your Lenten journey, you're invited to attend the study that also complements this sermon series. You can download the free guide at methodistic.org.uk/rising. And the group's been offered at several churches. It's at Trinity in Felixstowe on Mondays at 2 p.m., at Museum Street on Thursdays at 10 a.m., at Allen Road on alternating Tuesdays and Thursdays. Contact them for the details. And I believe that Capel, St Mary and Holbrook have got groups as well. And there's also a prayer calendar that you can print out and colour or write in that you'll find at the same link on the Methodistic site. Next week, David Wellborn is our preacher as we mark the second Sunday in Lent and look at our second big question for Rising to the Call. Who do you listen to? And now, with thankful hearts, I encourage you to offer your time, talent and treasure to God and support the work of your local church. And if you're not part of a local congregation and would like to support the Ipswich Methodist Circuit, then we now have a way for you to make a donation to the circuit online at methodistic.org.uk/donate. Let us pray together. God of the wilderness, We give these offerings in gratitude, rejoicing in the abundance of your gifts to us. We give these offerings in faith, trusting that you will provide for our needs. We give these offerings in hope, knowing that you can use them to spread your love in this world. And with these offerings we give ourselves, may we live with generous hearts and with open hands. Amen. And as we take this Lenten journey, we're called as disciples to a road that is not always easy, one that requires courage and faithful service. So let's finish by singing number 660, Called by Christ to be Disciples, every day, in every place. Go from here with the Spirit's power to resist temptation and to rise to new challenges. And may God, the Creator, Redeemer and Sustainer, be with each one of you, now and evermore. And all God's people say, Amen.